So, for those who don't know, my name's Simon. My second name doesn't really matter, but it's Burr. But I'm Simon, and I'm going to talk to you about justification. But first of all, Tim put up a picture, a photo, which I've not seen before. My taste in ties wasn't particularly great back in the day. But it took me back. I don't know how old I was. But when I was 13, which was about that time, I got into a lot of trouble at school. And I think, to my shame, I was probably one of the last people caned in Britain. Being caned was humiliating, I can tell you this. There were three of us after school had to go and see the head. And the first chap came out crying, and I thought, well, that look good, does it? And then the next chap, he came out and he swore as he came out. So he was grabbed and given another two strokes of the cane for swearing. At which point the phone then rang and the school was quiet, everyone had gone home. And I sort of wondered what this was all going to be about. Anyway, I was caned, and then they wrote to my father. At that age, I was also on special report for not doing any work, and I'm ashamed to say that I forged my parents' signature for quite a long time, and I ended up transferring schools, being moved schools. Had a profound effect on my education from going from one school to another when I was 13, and so. When you look back, you look at people now and you think, well, I look okay, you're doing okay. Actually, those things and the kind of misery I gave my parents when I was young, they kind of stay with you. And maybe that's what drives you later in life. And you want to make sure other people don't do the same things. So for those who are young, concentrate at school. You're not going to get caned, which is a good thing. But it does link with what I wanted to say about justification. Oh, am I going the right way? I hope I'm going the right way. I didn't do that, by the way. That's not my skill. Am I going the right way? Oh, good. So this is sort of, first of all, how I think about it a little bit. Clouds and sun. You'll find that as a Christian, there are clouds sometimes in your life. Now, some of you know that I work on aircraft engines. I've done that for most of my working life. Certainly worked on aircraft all my working life. And so this sort of speaks to me about some of the challenges in life and how justification and the truth of it can help you. So this aircraft here is going through turbulence. And sometimes in your life, you go through turbulence. You go through situations that aren't great, and you make mistakes, and you get down, and you question your salvation. You question whether God loves you. You think you're undeserving, and so on. And justification is a wonderful truth, because what it tells me is it's not about me, it's about what God has done through Jesus. And I can absolutely rely on that. So that was my first thing to say is, if anyone in the room is going through a bit of a time in their life, difficulty, challenge, think about this truth of justification. It's not just a biblical truth. If you really grasp it, to grasp that God sees you as holy and perfect and righteous is very, very liberating, and it's a source of great joy and peace. I think, I'm just going to speak very personally. And I hope you don't mind. Well, the Apostle Paul spoke personally. We were sharing that earlier. He spoke in 2 Corinthians 11 about his experience. And his experience brought conviction when he spoke about his conviction that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was speaking from deep personal experience. So at the moment, you might say, well, everything looks fine in your life. You're kind of looking here, you look tidy, everything's happy and fine. My mother is in the hospital. I don't know how she's 90. and she's just broken her hip. My father is frail. He's 92. And I think, well, how am I going to look after him when he gets home? I've got some very severe challenges where I work. Company I work for is on the front of the newspaper sometimes for things that are difficult. My son is a Royal Marine. And I worry about him in a changing world. It's not playing soldiers. It's a risky thing to do. So those things are turbulence in your life and anxiety. The justification is something that brings me peace. What does the Bible say about it? Well, first of all, in Exodus, long way, way back, the beginning of the Bible, it tells us about what God says, I will not justify the wicked. So God is righteous and holy, and he's not going to paper over things that are wrong. A lot of that happens in our world, and we get used to it, and we think it's normal, but that isn't actually how the scripture speaks. It says, I will not justify the wicked. So then comes the question, well, how can I be right with God? The dictionary, sometimes dictionaries are helpful on words that are big and complicated. And what the dictionary says, the Oxford English Dictionary, it says it's the action or declaring or making righteous in the sight of God. So it is a truth that God looks at me, as in Jesus, as righteous, as blameless, that there is nothing, nothing at all standing out against me. Now, if I believe that deeply, and we all believe that deeply, I believe our worship and our praise to God would be brighter, and I believe we'd be happier, and we'd be more at peace, and we'd be more effective in our testimony. But you see, the challenge is, as the devil tells you all the time, you're not really righteous, you're not really good enough, and God might be holding something against you. First of all, just to speak about God's righteousness, there's lots of verses that help us understand. What does it mean that God is holy and righteous, that he's pure? There's lots of ways of understanding that. I haven't got time to go into them all, and I couldn't possibly. But this one verse I love in the Bible, the just balance is the scale of the Lord's. Now, when I was a kid, my mother used to like taking us to Croydon Market where there was vegetables and fruit stalls. And I used to watch these men who'd sort of throw potatoes on and they'd snatch them off the scales before the scales had sort of settled out. There's always a sort of, always felt as a child, there's a sort of sleight of hand going on. It's not like that in God's sight. And he does use the analogy of scales a number of times in the scripture. We know in relation to Daniel on Belshazzar. He says, you're weighed, about Belshazzar, weighed in the scales, the balance, and found wanting. So God perfectly weighs things up and makes a perfect assessment of the situation. Nothing misses his holy eye. In Proverbs, it says, the eyes of the Lord rove to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. So nothing is hidden. And sometimes that might make me worried. It certainly made Adam and Eve worried, so they hid in the trees. And other people like Jonah ran away and he hid in a boat. I think I'll come back to it, that justification, knowing how God sees you, would stop you hiding. There might be someone in this room who's hiding, not praying. I haven't prayed for a bit. I feel a bit awkward going into God's presence. Knowing that God righteously declares you blameless is a wonderful thing. I put up a thing about the post office, or Anthea told me. She said, I think you need to tell people about the post office because it's just an example of injustice. So in the world, justice is never sort of perfect, is it? People were accused of things that they didn't do. I know another Christian who was accused of something they didn't do that actually had a profound effect on their life. There's a lot of injustice, isn't there? There are people going through the courts every day who probably should go to jail, but they've managed to talk their way out of it. So in the world, we think of justice as sort of flawed. But I want you to take away that God's righteousness is perfect. And you've got to hold on to that. Abraham said back at the beginning of the Old Testament, he said that, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And when you're asked lots of questions, maybe at school, at university, at work, or wherever, college, about, well, this isn't fair and that's not fair, come back to this, that God does everything right and he's perfectly fair. And that you have to cling to. Otherwise, you get drifted around by all kinds of clever questions. So what does the Bible say on this subject? Well, it has a lot to say on it, and the Apostle Paul in particular has a lot to say on it, on justification, and a lot of it is in the Epistle to the Romans. It's also in the Epistle to the Galatians. And it's not a new thought in a way, because it tells us about Abraham, that he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He took God at his word, and as he acted in faith, God reckoned to him, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was asked to do something, to leave his home. He followed God's word. He was asked to sacrifice his son. He took God's word. God intervened, as we know, but he was a man of faith. So the first thing is, it's on the principle of faith, of trusting what God says. We have peace towards God. What a wonderful thing that is. You know, I sometimes think, you know, when I preach the gospel, I'm not preaching now, when I preach the gospel, I look around the room, I sometimes think, some people when you speak, their faces light up. You speak about Jesus, talk, you think, you know, they're going to say hallelujah or something, you know, they're kind of full on fire. And other people are sort of, you know, I don't want to cut your eye, kind of hiding away, you know, sort of like this. It's a wonderful thing to have peace towards God. Nothing in the way. I can just enter into God's presence and speak to him as someone who loves me, cares about me, is compassionate towards me and wants to help me every day of my life. I've been justified. God righteously says, you are welcome in my holy presence. I think about Luke 15, you know, there the man went away. He ended up living in debauchery, terrible immoral behavior. He ended up working with the pigs, which to a Jew, when they were hearing this story, must have sounded terrible. When he went back, he didn't say, right, clean yourself up before you come into my house. Go and have a wash, straighten yourself out. He said, no, put on. He didn't have to do anything. It was all done for him. And that is the truth of justification. It's all God's doing and God's gift. We have peace towards God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not through our own efforts. Another scripture in Romans, much rather having been justified in the power of his blood. So we're justified in the power of his blood. Now, when Christians remember the Lord, we have a loaf and the blood. We might wonder about the blood. Why is the blood there? It's to remind us. It's to remind us the cup. Why did the Lord Jesus leave that remembrance in the wine of his blood? Well, because all our blessing comes from his shed blood. And we're justified in the power of his blood, that God sees a righteous basis in which everything has been dealt with on the cross in Jesus. I'm not asked to do anything, but simply trust him and take him at his word. I think I need to keep coming back to this point, because through our life, maybe when I reflect on mine, I've tried to please God at times by trying hard. Now, as a Christian, you're asked to do good works. The Bible tells you that. You're asked to work, live your life in a certain way. Chris will speak about that. But you can't come into blessing through trying hard or good works. It's in the power of his blood. Jesus our Lord, another scripture in Romans 4, he's been raised for our justification. That means the whole matter of sin was dealt with at the cross. And Jesus went into death. It went all out of God's sight. And he's been raised. So God has got a just righteous basis. All the matter of sin has been dealt with, gone in his sight on the cross and in the grave. He's been raised. Jesus lives. I am justified. When I was at school, there was a chap that had a sort of thing on his wrist that says Jesus is alive. And I thought, of course he's alive. You don't need to go around with a thing on your wrist like that. What's the matter with you? And I thought, no, that's a testimony. Jesus is alive. He's saying he's alive. It's a good thing to live your life as if Jesus is alive. A lot of people go around with crosses, like Jesus on the cross. Jesus is alive. He's been raised for our justification. There's lots of scriptures. You can find lots of others, but these are some. And then we're justified by his grace, God's favour towards us, that God wants the very best for us, that his favour and his love shines on us, that we may be heirs according to hope of everlasting life. I'm sorry, I've lost the last word there. So we have what is yet to come. The better experience of anything we've enjoyed in this life lies before us. To be, as Tim says, away from sin, not have any consciousness of sin, no grief, no night, nothing of the past. We may be heirs. We've got something amazing to look forward to. And that is because we're justified by his grace. It's all his doing and all his giving. Now, Martin Luther, who was, some of you know, was used of God to bring this sort of truth to life. Because people in his time, back in the 15th century, they thought they could please God by giving money, paying penances, doing all kinds of good works. And he said he needed to preach it every week because people forget it. Every week they forget it. You tell people they're saved. And many times I've wondered, why am I speaking to people that have been Christians for years? I mean, some people in this room, I'm sure some of you in this room, if you've had to preach, I once had to preach to Brother Phil here. There were five in the room. I was about, I don't know, 21 or something. There was Phil and his dad and his uncle and his aunt and some other old sister, if I remember. And I walked away and thought, why am I preaching? These folk know much more about the Bible than I do. And they've been Christians far longer than I have. This verse helps. We can easily forget the truth of justification. We can easily slide back into trying hard and thinking something, in some way I earn my salvation. No, it's God's gift. Sometimes hymns say in a sort of elegant way, much more elegant way than I can. Some of you have sung this hymn, Living He Loved Me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely. Freely. I've not paid anything. It's free. It's cost Jesus everything, but it's free for me. And the other word is forever. It doesn't depend on how I feel. I was saying earlier to a little group, I read a thing on the calendar about someone who said to the preacher afterwards, well, I'm not sure I feel saved. And he said, when Noah was in the ark, was he saved by how he felt or because he was in the ark? God shut him in, he was safe inside the boat, right? Didn't depend on his feelings. It's forever, justified freely and forever. It doesn't change. God doesn't change his mind. He's not going to change his mind about you. And that should cause you joy. I mean, people sing these hymns because they're happy. And it's a good thing to be a happy Christian. Here's another hymn. Now I can say I am pardoned. I've sung this many, many times. No doubt you have. In the book that some of us use, it's hymn 122. Happy and justified. You're happy? Happy to know that God looks on you, loves you, looks on you as perfect in Jesus. Doesn't look on you like you've just come from the swine and dirty clothes and ashamed to sit in the corner, but welcomes you right into his house. Saved by my blessed Redeemer. Why do I put these up? Because when you think about it, your heart wants to lift and look towards heaven and thank the Lord for what he's done, because what he's done is amazing. And it's transformed my life. And I know it's transformed many lives in this room. This is the Saviour for me. So, I showed turbulence. This is a better look, isn't it? You're above the clouds, blue sky above. What Paul said is, well, who shall bring an accusation against God's elect? Who is able to do such a thing? I suspect there's a few Christians in this room who've doubted their salvation, doubted whether God loves them, thought they're unworthy. You know, all sorts of fears and doubts have come through their mind. That's true of probably everyone. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, of God's people. He said, but who shall? Who is so bold? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ has died, but rather has been also raised up, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So the Lord Jesus acts on our behalf in God's presence. So if you have doubts and fears, you're in good company, but don't stay in that space. Come back to these verses and make them your own. Look, there's lots of verses in the Bible, and some are precious to different people in this room. They're all God's word. But I'd encourage you to make one or two verses, really hold on to them, make them your own. We can know them in our head, but you've got to know them in your heart. And then you get peace through life's turbulence and problems. And then I thought, well, what someone else said about it. Charlie Duke's a really interesting man. Charlie Duke went to the moon in 1972. If you hear the lunar landings in 1969 with Neil Armstrong, Charlie Duke was Capcom. He was the man talking to them. And you can tell because he's got a very southern accent. He's a really interesting man. He went to the moon in 1972 on Apollo 16. He actually drove a buggy on the moon. I think he actually played golf on the moon as well, which I don't think he was supposed to, but he had a bit of a moment where he actually fell on his back and he was worried that he said it was the worst moment of his life. He wasn't sure if his spacesuit would keep him intact. And when he came down, got all this fame. Fame. You know, people long for fame, don't they? These influencers and things. He had fame. He had money. Everywhere he went, people wanted to know him and so on. And his life fell apart and his marriage fell apart. And I think he took to drink and so on. And his wife first came to the Lord, and then he came to the Lord. And one of the things he said was, it's always stayed with me, is he said, people want to meet a man that went to the moon, but I want to tell them about a man that came to the earth. And he said this, that walking with Jesus is a more profound experience than walking on the moon. And that justification is a gift from God, not something earned. So if you don't remember anything else from what I said, just remember that justification is a gift from God. It's about how God looks on you and I is an absolute truth. It is not something you and I have earned. And it's not subject to our hard work or our efforts. It's a gift from God. And it's a wonderful blessing. And it will give you peace in your life when you go through difficulty to know that God loves me and actually looks on me as holy and blameless. And I'm always welcome in his presence. And that will give you peace when things are difficult. And it will give you joy when things are easy. That you can lift your eyes towards heaven and thank him and thank Jesus. So that's all I wanted to say. I've come up with some questions, and I apologize for them. A little bit complicated. And Anthony told me off. She said to me, my wife, she said to me, why did you come up with such complicated questions? I came up with four questions. How would I explain justification to a new Christian? So a new Christian who's pardoned and knows they're free, how would you explain it? Does it matter? Is it just a truth in the Bible? How can I say that I'm free? And does being justified make me happy? I keep coming back to this point of happiness. I think justification, if it's deeply understood, as Tim said, like those little building blocks, I think it will make you both happy and at peace. And in doing so, you'll be a blessing to others, whether you realize it or not. Just to finish, there was an old sister in the meeting I came from, she was 105. And the Lord recently took her. And everyone said about her that she was someone that was always happy. Now, I've no doubt that living in a home probably wasn't a great happy experience. But you'd have never known that. Debbie, Mike, others have went to see her. You'd have never known that. Because I think she was someone who knew the truth of being justified.